AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Look, my day job as a firefighter is tough, but my night job as a social media manager, my Persian cat Jinxie, that's intense. It's 8 p.m. I've finally gotten home from another 24-hour shift, and I just want to kick back with a cold one, but old Jinxie knocks my beer right off the counter and gives me that look that says no drinking on the clock. But Heineken 00 keeps us both happy. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing. So I get my drink and I can still work on Jinxie's new line of merch.
Heineken 00, 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Firehouse Subs, a portion of every purchase helps provide life-saving equipment to first responders. We make our subs differently because our subs make a difference. Like our Italian sub, piled high with Genoa salami, pepperoni, and Virginia honey ham. Or our Firehouse meatball sub with zesty marinara, both with melted provolone and Italian seasoning. Your choice, just $6.99 each for a medium and only for a limited time at Firehouse Subs.
Tap the banner now to start your order.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Cock. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Cock.
A camel turnip.
This is the that's the Fighting Cock Euros special. We can doing podcasts through the European Championships as long as England are playing in them. The minute that England are knocked out, then I could give a single fuck about this competition. But I can't say how much fun I've had watching football again, where my team can't destroy it. I'm joined on the line by James Lawrence Alcott, one of my very, very best friends. I was nearly said best friend there because Ricky might be listening. Might lash out.
Giving up on that one.
Yeah, well, it's not important, is it? It's, as long as you're, you know, getting something from a relationship, that's the most
top five. Some of them top five.
Well, I mean, there is no top five. There's just people around me who I really, really enjoy spending my time with. And James, you are one of them.
That's wonderful. It's an honour.
James loves people might not know who James is. If you listen to this and you don't know who James is and you're expecting Ricky or T or probably not Barty because he's sort of left for another podcast.
Where's he gone?
Windy, they set up their own podcast and now it's getting popular and I'm getting fucked off about it. So James, I do a podcast called. I don't do a podcast called James and Flav for now. I do, but that's not what's important. What's important is that James is a good mate of mine, and he fucking loves football. But he really, more than that, fucking loves England and Scotland.
The Scotland thing's been a bit of a bombshell for like a lot of people. Like a lot of people, are like, what are you doing? Like, why have you got? I feel a bit funny. Like, I was like, I really like that Scotland top, and I'm half Scottish, and they're in the tournament, so I'm gonna like buy that.
When you say you're half Scottish, what do you mean? Is it your mum's Scottish or your dad's Scottish or what?
My mum's Scottish.
Right. So you are actually half your blood, half your DNA is Scottish.
Yeah, and obviously I don't sound Scottish, but neither does my mum, and she's like completely Scottish. So. You know, anyone who says anything negative they're being xenophobic, aren't they? So.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
absolutely are. But you know, the Tottenham Hotspur fan base ain't sort of known for, you know, giving a fuck about all that shit.
Oh, really?
They're fine, are they?
That's good. I'm buzzing. I'm not going to say. You know, the phrase everyone's saying about football and where it lives in regard to England.
Well, it definitely lives in. In the UK, probably.
But, where it's going. I don't want to say that cheaply. So I've got a thing in my head now that I'm not going to say it till I truly believe it, and I don't believe it yet. Said it yet. But I feel like it's really saturated. That phrase is so saturated now, isn't it?
Yeah, but what, you know, when we went to me and Jim, we drove to Russia in a van. For
to bring it home.
Yeah, so we got a job for a company called Bull Street. We both used to work from, and they had this idea. They got a deal with a reputable a van company, and they said, "Do you want to get in a van and drive it to Russia to go and watch England play Belgium?" We were like, "Yeah, sounds all right."
Yeah, better than being that sweltering hot office.
Yeah.
She was riddled with disease.
Well, yeah.
Mainly flu.
Let's not talk about the lady that might be in question there.
I'm in the office, but yeah, I mean, I think that made that intensify the percentage of disease. Anyway.
They were saying, yeah. Well, we were saying, come on, stick us in the van. Oh, we'll drive to Russia. We'll do 2,000 miles in 3 days. Yeah, we did it. And but back then. We were banging on about England coming out. Football coming home, i.e., coming home to England. And I've kind of started to embrace it again, but not in the same way that we did back then. Like it's coming home.
It was kind of funny, wasn't it? Then now we're serious.
Now we're good.
Yeah.
Now we're good. It might actually be coming home. So Jim, like, you're someone who loves international football. No, like, there's no one listening to this who really, really loves international football.
Mm.
But you actually do. So yeah. I think one of the funniest things you've ever said to me is you're sick of people jumping on the bandwagon when a national tournament comes around.
I think you can't be cynical from start to finish and then get the glory at the end.
But you can't go.
Oh, this Jesus guy. No. Yeah, he doesn't save people quickly enough. I think he's inexperienced. I don't think he's right for the job. The guy's lost. And then when you get to heaven at the end of it, he goes. Oh, I always loved you. Well, no, you didn't, did you? I think it's like that. You can't. You got to invest in your team and offer up some optimism.
The thing, using that metaphor, Jim, right? That would be like looking at Jesus on the cross and still going, "Nah, I still don't get it."
Yeah, exactly.
It's only until he's resurrected, and Mary Magdalene
he's reasonably stated all the reasons why heaven exists, but you just don't want it. But I think people start balanced, and then they depending on the personality, they tip one way or the other. Now, you know me, Flav. I ain't got time for that negative nonsense. So I just don't see the point in living in that space. I find it. It's not fun.
Yeah, but
so why
would
you get
don't...
a bit giddy? I like being giddy. So let's get giddy.
Yeah, but you got to wait for the rest of us to catch up with you. And then we get
just
to
follow me. Just trust me. You'll never regret it.
We beat Croatia, and now we're all in. I'm 10 toes into this tournament. I love it. before England beat Croatia, I was just like, fuck it, whatever. But we beat them. I've watched every single minute of every game since.
You know what I'd love him to like get to the knockouts, and he plays Trippier up front, Trippier up front. He plays Sterling centre back. Sterling wins every header, and at the end of it, we beat whoever it would be, probably be Portugal. Beat Portugal in a game that we're not expected to win. Everyone said we're useless. He's useless. Southgate's useless. He does his interview, and he just calmly goes, "Enough, okay, enough,
enough.
I'm a genius. I'm a sensible genius. Let me do my job."
You've been producing content on your YouTube channel for a long time, and actually just back to the Ball Street days, the England content that you wanted to produce always did quite well, and then now on your own channel that's fucking flying, I might add, if you're into YouTube, you like football content, go and fucking subscribe to James's YouTube channel, because he's talking about all the football all the time.
Victor.
Yeah.
I've got a calendar in front of me now where I'm like, I need to make a call on the football that I'm going to talk about. You know, I can't be talking about all the football because it's too much.
but you've always been a bit of a proponent for Southgate, for the England side, the fact that we have what I consider to be the very best England lineup that we've had going into a major tournament. For even better than the Golden Generation, not because they're better than that midfield of Lampard, Gerrard, having Scholes and Owen and whoever it might be.
Mm.
But we do look good here. Do you think we look good going into this tournament?
I did. I kind of like, I don't know, I almost wanted to... my expectations were tempered by the draw. The draw we've got, if we win our group, is really horrible. And we literally have to beat, essentially probably Portugal, Spain, Germany, France to win the tournament. So that obviously makes it really difficult. But in terms of... So the way I look at it is, in terms of depth, the depth is outrageous. Like, Sancho wasn't in the match day squad. He wasn't in the match day squad.
And he's supposedly
one of the best players in the world.
Right, we didn't bat an eyelid that he weren't even there.
That's it, and I think that's where a lot of the discussion comes, is that there are so many options. If there weren't as many options, a bit like the World Cup, there weren't as many options, so we were like, do your thing, Gareth, and oh my god, it's kind of working, and we just allowed it to be. Now, if you want to pick an argument about the team, you can always find it. You can always find it. And I was thinking about it this morning, actually. The squad is probably the most most quality in terms of depth ever. But the quality, it's not going backwards either. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we've got old players. So this squad will be in the squad next year. Everyone will be available, and probably the one after that, maybe even the Euros after that. So, but what you won't have is the like youthful exuberance and like the lack of post-traumatic stress from the kind of the fallout of a lot of these tournaments. So that's where I'm kind of really trying to go, like, don't become entitled with this. Like, that's what I like international football is. And I think it's becoming more and more, you know, the big teams are the big teams, the big countries or whatever. But you're still, you know, I'm looking at Slovakia right now beating Poland, or Belgium, a country with, you know, such a small population. If you can get it right, you've got an opportunity. And I think that's a really great thing. So for us, in terms of England, you know, we'll probably always be a bit of a, you know, bit of a superpower, I guess. But, you know, we've got a really talented team, so we should enjoy it. I don't want to get to the end of it and not have enjoyed it. Do you know what I mean? Imagine if you win one, you don't enjoy it. It just seems stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I would know nothing about supporting a team that played horrible football and didn't win anything. I completely agree with you. Can also ask you not to watch football while recording the podcast. It's a bit disrespectful.
Sorry about that. It's just kind of, it's on in the background. All I can see is the score. There's no analysis going on.
Yeah, Poland down to 10 men. It doesn't matter.
I didn't know that. So are you watching it as well?
I've got my eye on it. Just through the other. Do you know how posh I am? I've got a window from the kitchen going through to the front room. It's like what's it called? A hole in the wall.
Very successful.
Yes. Very, very, very successful. Mate. I said something. We do hold the L on Sky Super 6, and one of the things we talked about earlier today was the fact that England's front line, if you could turn it over multiple times, you could have Grealish, Foden, you could have Rashford, Sterling, you could have Mount pushing forward and Kane at the top of all of that, or you could play Rashford up top and then alternate behind. Kane could even play in number 10. It's embarrassing.
Sancho and Calvert-Lewin.
I didn't even say Sancho and Calvert-Lewin. It's so good. Our front line is amazing. But the very best of those three, and we're not even sure who is the best of those three, and that may hinder us a little bit going into the latter stages of this competition. But is there any other club in... any other nation in this competition that has that depth? And actually, forget about the depth, just the best front three. What's your best front three, and could it get into every other team in this competition?
That's a good question.
Kane up top, right?
Kane, yeah, of course. Yeah, and yeah, there was like a few grumblings about him yesterday, and I think there'll be a few. I think the problem is the balance and the kind of deciding on what is going to work in that game. Like, I watched I watched the game again this morning, and the Trippier thing was genius, because for a few reasons. So when I looked at the stats, Vasalko's the right back who really hurt us, I think, in the semi-final, it might have been. He gave the ball away 26 times. The next person who gave the ball away the most was, I think, I can't remember, it was Pickford or something like that, it was 16. So, like, Croatia play down that right-hand side because they're trying to get the ball to Modric. And Trippier being, like, right-sided, he was kind of ready and confident to kind of nick in sort of passes and bits and pieces. And he plays at the same club as him as well. So he kind of probably knows how he plays bit as well. So it's all really clever.
Southgate know what he's doing, is that what you're saying?
I think Steve Holland knows what he's doing. I think between them, they work together well as a team. But yeah, so going forward, I think, unlike the World Cup, he will play differently in different games. And I think he'll really, he's just so sensible. Like, that I think he'll kind of try and retain as much clarity as possible. And, you know, make calls based on that. So if it was me, I was looking at it, I was thinking, for Scotland, who will probably drop deep, you could make six changes to that team. And I wouldn't bat an eyelid. Because you could take Foden out, play Grealish on the right, you could put Rashford on the left, you could take Mount off and play Henderson, or you could play Grealish in where Mount is. You could put Henderson in and take Phillips out as well as he played if you wanted to kind of mix it about a little bit. Like, there's so many, you could change both the fullbacks on both sides. You could take Maguire back as well. Like, there's so many different changes in terms of a front three. Yeah, like I do think it's like kind of
Jim.
Horses for courses. When it was Croatia, I was like, in my head, I was like, I wanted that player. Like, he played Sterling as that guy who could stretch it, and I wanted that as well. I had Rashford in my mind to do that because I liked Rashford and Shaw on that left hand side, and then I actually didn't play Mount. I played Grealish,
of course you did,
because I've seen him for Villa as a, you know, I know it's the Championship, but I've seen him playing midfield, and Kane obviously would play, and then I had Foden on the right hand side. And if you look at elsewhere around Europe, there might be more experienced front lines. There might be, in terms of depth, maybe I think France have got the best squad. But then after that, it's probably Portugal and us. I mean, Portugal maybe got better centre backs, maybe a better spine.
Can I just pull you back a second?
Sorry, yeah, I'm rambling.
No, you're not rambling. You've talked about football in a way that I could never be bothered to understand. But, Jim, you said Steve Holland, like, I would know who he is. How dare you fucking throw a name at me, like, sorry. I'm confused about. Like, who's this Steve Holland fella?
Steve Holland was he was assistant manager, I think. He was a coach at Chelsea for a long time.
Don't know.
Possibly with Mourinho, but he was there for a while.
Yeah, fucking, just stop talking. Stop talking. Yeah.
It seems like he knows his stuff. He's got more experience than Southgate. But you know what? Who was it? Some pundit said, you've got to remember with Southgate, I think sometimes you think, oh, he wouldn't be a Premier League manager. Like, fine, but, you know, if that's your opinion on it. But in terms of international football, I think he's played in like six or something.
He knows
and it. He's managed the under-21s for tournaments. He's managed, you know, and he's now managing his second one for England. Like, he has got experience.
When he was made coach, we all thought, oh, for fuck's sake, didn't we? A little bit. It was Allardyce then Southgate? Right. So when Allardyce, we thought, yeah, all right, I can get on the Allardyce boat because he plays the percentages. We've got enough good players. He'll probably get us to quarterfinals of any major competition. We'll deal with that. Southgate come along. What was it? Semi-finals of the World Cup. Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine Allardyce with that squad. Oh, I mean, come God, on.
No.
I mean, come on. It'd be horrific.
It was the best thing in the world was when he got caught fingering that kid. Is that what he did?
I don't think anyone ever tweeted about it. Everyone just let that one go.
I can't remember why he got sacked.
He didn't finger any children. He was doing some dodgy dealings with the Arabs, or I don't know. He was stung, wasn't he? He was stung. Mike Bassett
I think saying the Arabs and the kids is comparable. Anyway. All right.
It's normally a shake, isn't it? Let me throw a shake in there for a meeting.
The most horrendous thing I ever saw was Brian Robson doing deals with Malaysian businessmen to buy a West Brom. Was it something like that?
I didn't know he did that. But Bobby. I thought Bobby was fine.
And not the Newcastle manager, Brian Robson.
Oh, Brian Robson. Oh, yeah. That was tough. And to be honest, he only went there for a free drink, didn't he? Bless him.
Yeah, and the sort of hidden camera made him look like a sex pest.
Yeah, because he was so sweaty and red from the booze.
Today
we got the tape.
Today Scotland got beat by Czech Republic. They hadn't been beaten in the calendar year, which is amazing. Steve Clark's done incredible work at Scotland, done really, really well. And so he's boosted confidence so much that I've got Scottish fans going, we're going to fucking do you. We are going to fucking do you. Do you imagine if you're in a pub and the bloke's bigger than you and he wants to intimidate and he's poking you in the forehead going, we're going to fucking do you. Like, their best player is Andy Robinson, who was playing for Hull 3 years ago. Their best
formerly, formerly of Queen of the South.
Queen of the South and Hull. Like, I say Queen of the South, like I knew it. I didn't know it. He's come a long way, hasn't he? And Tierney as well, left back, left wing. And they've got McGinn, who's very good. You know, he's very good, but he wouldn't get near any He wouldn't get near. He wouldn't get in the England squad. So he's really good. But what I'm saying is that England should go into this game as favourites. But what I'm hearing from the Scottish fans is, we're gonna fucking put it up you. We're gonna push your shit in. That's what what they're saying.
That's a direct quote.
And you know, people that have listened to the Jaffin podcast will know about the White Teeth story. Mark, or the boy, who's a big Celtic fan, we follow each other on Twitter, and he wrote that story, White Teeth. And he come out of the hoardings.
He's piping up, is he?
He's piping up and going, yeah, are you going to deal with us beating you on Friday? And I'm like, where's this confidence coming? Like, as someone who understands and knows Scottish football.
You know they played today, right?
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay, so you know they lost today.
Yeah, they lost to Czech Republic. There's a halfway line goal, like Beckham-esque goal. I saw that.
It was, yeah. The Will Ernie lookalike scored it. His name's Patrick Schick. Yeah, I mean, Scotland played well. It was actually, there's a lot of heat on my boy Lyndon Dykes, QPR striker.
Yeah, he's
rubbish. He missed a couple of chances.
He's rubbish, isn't he? You don't want him at QPR, Lyndon Dykes. He's a bloke who plays his football in New Zealand, or he's from New Zealand. He's got a grandma who's Scotland, and suddenly ended up in the Championship of Football, leading line for Scotland. Like, explain Lyndon Dykes to me and why he can damage England.
So he's like Emil Heskey. But
much worse, obviously.
Emil Heskey. I like to go with not as good.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's
worse if it was a bit negative. He'll win his flick-ons. He needs a guy with him. So the reason why he's done well at the back end of the season for QPR is because he had Charlie Austin with him. Like, and Charlie Austin kind of scored a few goals, so he could do the bit that he was good at, which was like hold up play, flick-ons, and setting him up. And then Charlie Austin was scoring the goals. The pressure of scoring the goals was kind of off him. And then he scored one. You know, he scored one goal if it was away at Reading, and then after that he was like, he had a bit of confidence, and then he got better and better and better. But he's not a natural finisher. So he got a chance today that it was like, it was one of those crosses that kind of like you were expecting three or four people to kind of clear it, and then it got to him at the back post and he sort of snapshotted it and he got it on target, and the goalie made a really, really good save. But the ultimate thing is that he didn't score, where, and you think like Kane would have scored it basically. So he's like, he does a lot of good stuff, but he's not that kind of clinical goal scorer that you need when you're not going to get many chances, which is a problem. And it's why they probably lost today, or didn't score at least. It was because he had a couple of chances and didn't score them. So, yeah. I mean, he wins a lot of headers, and he does like all those little bits he's good. He's good at.
If England played Scotland 100 times, how many times would Scotland beat England? And if, you know, for what reason? Like, why would they beat him?
Right.
Because on paper, you'd think that they're not comparable. You know, the majority of the times we play them, we'll be able to put them over. But, you know,
I'm worried, I'll be honest. Like, you know, from a Scottish point of view, like, I'm worried that, because watching that game, it was like Andrew Robertson was like playing out of his skin, and he was the sort of greatest opportunity of them scoring. Tierney was injured for the game. So if Tierney's back, and I think they said that he probably would be back, then that does make them a far better team. But, you know, if they put a plan in place to stop Robertson, they really don't have a lot else. And I could see the thing with, and it's like a team when you're down the bottom, and you know, all your fans, of course, won't know this until next season when you're fighting for relegation with Brentford.
That's not about Spurs.
All right, sorry. But
stay on story. Yeah,
there'll be a game. Every game you'll go into, you'll have optimism. But if you concede once, then you're worried. And if you concede twice, you start to give up, because you know that at the very best, you're going to score two goals. Really, like realistically. So that's what kind of happened. I was like, as soon as it went 2-0, I was like, fuck. Like, it's at best, this is going to be 2-2, if we can get a goal quickly. But like, so with England, if England start well and get two goals up, then it could get messy.
How would you sort of, how much of you is an England fan and how much of you is a Scotland fan, if it's on a 0 to 100% percentage ratio?
I would say my raw passion is more with England because of my dad and all that.
So like 60, 70?
Yeah. I think that's about fair. I think if I'm honest with myself, it's about 70, yeah. So I kind of watched the game. That's why I was gutted with the game today, because I wanted Scotland to win. So they had 3 points. England had 3 points. Then I can go on, guys, draw. You're both through. And then I don't really have to kind of...
Well, the format of the tournament right now is if you get 3 points, you're pretty much through. It's only sort of eight teams that go out or some bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, if you get four, you're definitely through, I think. So, that's why Scotland needed to win. But I thought Croatia were pretty crap, weren't they?
I thought they... Yeah. I mean, they were much worse than the team that beat us in the semi-finals of the World Cup. Modric is so intrinsic to everything that's good that happened in Croatian international football over the last, it must be 10 years. So, you know, he's aging. Yeah. There are players in there that are just not as good as what they were. They try to play football. And, you know, for once in my life, in our lives, when we're watching the England team that's really, really comfortable on the ball and is happy to receive it. And we've got so many young players there that are not scared. Like, you know, you remember the golden generation of Lampard, Gerrard, and, you know, Terry and Gary Neville. And, you know, we had a fucking wonderful team back in the day, but it just didn't work. Didn't work, yeah. It didn't work because if we're going to reduce it to really kind of basic analysis, which is all I'm capable of, is they looked scared, and the media are waiting for them to fail, and the players were waiting to fail. Whereas Bellingham is 17; he's not experienced that. All he's experienced is playing for Birmingham. Everyone loves him. Getting signed by one of the biggest clubs in Europe and playing practically every minute that he's been available. Sancho, one of the most sought after forwards in European football. Harry Kane, despite winning nothing, is the best forward, or if not, only second to Lewandowski. You know, and then you've got Rashford, Foden, close. Grealish, and then you've got Calvin Phillips, who we haven't even talked about, who was absolutely amazing, top draw. I've dug out Leeds through this year, and it was nothing to do with Leeds or any of their players. If they, you know, in a weird world where they listen to this and they take it personally, like, fucking grow up, you wankers. But Calvin Phillips was absolutely top draw, and he was so much better. And that run and anticipation to beat his man and then play it into Sterling for him to finish was world class. It was genuinely world class. And I was surprised when he started. I was surprised when Trippier started on the left hand side of the left back. And I was surprised by Mings's start, but all three of them were fantastic.
Yeah, I think I'm intrigued to see how that kind, because I think there'll be games where he might not play that way against other teams, because they might be a bit more conservative, and he's capable of doing that, and you've got Henderson as well. But in that game where you had a Croatian midfield that was, you know, a little bit leggy, where, you know, they the sort of the basic amount of running that was needed to stop them was one thing, but to be a bit more adventurous, and that's where the goal came from, him going, oh, there's a bit of space there, I'm going to go into that because I've got ridiculous stamina. That's just a great weapon to have. And I really liked him and Rice. I think if you're going to play two in the midfield, even if you think, say, like Chelsea, Kante and Jorginho, Jorginho's not really got the legs. He's got to be kind of cute. Declan Rice and Phillips are like, they could run all day. Like in that heat as well the other day, they were just like constant against a three in midfield, really, they were playing against. Mm. So I think energy's a big thing for us. I think we've got that. We've got that, you know, they're young. They're like, we've got quick players. We've got dribblers. We've got players who are used to pressing and ready to press and happy to press. I think it's, maybe it's, no, I'm not going to say it.
What?
But it's good. I can't say it yet. I need us to win. I need us to win a big knockout game, and then I'll say the phrase.
We're gonna have every opportunity, because we probably will win the group, and we will have to face all of those big teams. But you know what? We're a big team. They should fear us.
Definitely.
They should fear us, and that's the problem. Is everybody's talking about? Oh, we don't want to finish. We don't want to win the group because we have to face all of those teams. We've got to face France, Italy. We've got to face Portugal. Fuck them. Like, let's win the group. Let's go for the jugular. Let's stamp on their heads. And let's win this fucking tournament. Like, forget, like, don't fear anybody. Because the minute you... that mentality is the same mentality that's got us chucked out of every competition that we've been in since 1966. Is fearing people. We, like, I'm not going to say, like, we're England. Like, it's, like, go Brexit, fuck immigrants. It ain't that, right? But we're England. This is the home of football. It is coming home. Eventually, one day, it will come home. But what we need to do as a press, as a fan base, but fundamentally as a player group, we need to believe that we're better than every single one of these. Because France footballers, the French footballers, they don't walk into their training ground and greet their manager and thinking, there's Gareth Southgate or whoever it is who manages France and goes, oh, yeah, well, it's good to be a part of it. It's good. Like Bellingham isn't thinking, going, well, I'm glad I'm here. I'm 17. He's going into this thinking, no, I want to make a difference. Grealish, Foden, and Mount do not give a fuck about the history of what's happened in English football in the last 30 years. They're going out there because they have the exuberant skill and belief to actually make a difference.
That's why I'm always fighting against it. We've seen it, haven't we? We've seen them crump. We've seen gigantic legendary footballers crumble because we weren't proud of them. There was too much pressure on them. The media was after them. Like, that's why I'm really protective over them, because it's just like anything. So I think it was someone was telling me about this chat that James O'Brien, you know, James O'Brien from LBC,
of course, yeah,
he had with this this England fan who had who booed at the Black Lives Matter thing. Right. And he said, the guy goes, I've followed England all around the country for decades, probably spent about £60,000 on them. I'm not going to go anymore because I booed them last Saturday. And James O'Brien went, so hang on, let me just get this right. So he's like, and I know you've heard this kind of thing before, but like, so you're telling me you spend that tens of thousands of pounds of money following a team that you want to win, and you're going to boo them. You're going to boo them. Full stop. Like, it's just, I know it's such an obvious like thing, but yeah. I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, how fucking stupid. Like, be self-serving in this. The best way of being self-serving in this and getting the best out of that team is what happened in 2018, where everyone just was like, why not? Why not? And that's what we were fighting against before in 2016. And it almost had to get so bad that I think that was part of it, that everyone was a bit like, oh, come on now, this is getting out of hand. But also, you know, the media management of, you know, Southgate and whoever's involved in that whole idea was huge in 2018. And now that it's kind of gone okay again, I can feel people creeping in with this, like, this entitlement again. And it's just not going to help. Like, you won't get what you want, which all we want is in our lifetime to win one of these things. And imagine we beat Spain, we beat Portugal, Spain, Germany and France and won this thing. Yeah. And the only way that's going to happen is if they're feeling confident and not feeling pressured.
And luckily, obviously, thank fuck, players generally don't acknowledge or understand the way fans react. And the booing the knee and all that kind of stuff. Like, fundamentally, you're not impacting them. They're going to do it because they believe it to be the right thing to do. And I believe it to be the right thing to do. And I think they should go further, in fact. But, you know, fundamentally, the fans and the way they feel, all they have to do is promote a general positive atmosphere that's sort of positive for the players to play in. And then inside the camp, much more important, is having a group of players that don't know failure. You know, Foden. The Foden has done so well to get... It's done incredible. It's like almost unfathomable, the fact that a local lad has broken through the regime at Man City with all the money they spend, and this kid is so good that he's got into that first team and become one of the starters, right? The first name on the team sheet. And now we have him to play. We've got Jack Grealish, who I think is could be better than Foden, or at least comparable. Like, he's that good. If he was at Man City, people would be raving about him, and it wouldn't even be a question about whether or not he's starting. Then you've got Mount, Bellingham, like I said before. It's just this is a young group of players. All they know is success and adulation, and it's that mentality and that sort of idea that they need to, or belief in themselves that they need to take into every single game, because it's that belief that will let them get that and achieve in that moment on the pitch where they can just do something that almost every player that we've had play for England in the last 30 years couldn't do. And that's because they've just not been tainted by the bullshit around the national team.
Because it just popped into my head. You know, Peter, that's the other thing that winds me up. You know, people go, they better play with freedom. It's like, that's the problem is they don't play with freedom. Play with guys, someone tell them, play with freedom.
Yeah.
That's like an element of choice in it. But it's like, we really have a power, like, we, you know, that's part of like the campaign about this online hate and all that stuff, like, because it is clearly seeping through to people.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, everyone can play a part, and I think that's a really good thing. And that's when you'll feel more part of it, when you do play that part. Do you know what I mean?
We know the general analysis when you're inside a stadium of what's going on the pitch, don't we? So generally, it's if you want your team to attack, you scream out forward,
yeah,
go, mm-hmm. move, and if you want to you know, defend a free kick, you just scream out. It's, you know,
away.
And away.
Mm. Very simple.
Very, very simple. You know, from the stands, it's very, very simple instructions. Why can't they fucking understand it? I don't know. All right.
Yeah, hopefully. A couple more wins. Win the group. We'll be fine.
Jim, where will we... What's a good Euros for England?
I want a quarterfinal, at least. Just because that means we will have beaten a good side. Because there's definitely a good side on the horizon, especially if we win our group. So if we beat one of Portugal, Germany, or France in that second round, I think that's, and then you play another great team and you get unlucky, then I can live with that. Like, totally can live with that. But I would like to see us, you know, I would say that's not failure if we can get to the quarterfinals with the run that looks like we're going to have.
I think squad's so good that a good Euros will be a final or a semi-final. And
that's fair. That's
if
fair.
If we don't reach that, it's not a problem.
He's got to go, isn't he?
Fuck no, he's got to go. 100%. Actually, can he survive? Can he survive this tournament? One way or another. Can he? I don't know. But you know, I'd be inclined to keep him. And just, like, let's not, like, throw our toys out the pram. Let's not go mental. Like, if we don't get to the semi-finals or finals, then, you know, it's fine. If we go out in the quarterfinals, it's fine, because this team and this squad is so good that we can't not achieve in the future. But I think it's good enough to achieve now. And I think that if we do this, if we believe in ourselves and these young players just go and play and be everything they want to be and just fucking just grab onto this opportunity, then they could, you know, write their names in history. And I think that they could win it. They could win it. The only way we can't win it is if our defence fails us, and it didn't against Croatia. It absolutely didn't. Tyro Mings, who, you know, not that many people wanted him to start. He You know, and do you know what else I noticed, Jim? Like, looking across, you know, watching the game, just we've got some units in there. Like, Mings is massive. Stones is a big lad. Harry Kane's a lump up top. And then in amongst all that, we have these sort of lovely, sort of technical, tricky players. And Calvin Phillips is a big lad himself, but just he can play football. Declan Rice knows what he's doing, but also has his size. I just feel like it's a perfect blend. I feel like we can fucking do it. I tell you. I feel like football's coming home. I really do.
Yeah, man. I think also the thing to remember is that don't expect all of the players to play exactly like they do in the Premier League. Like, you saw that with Phillips in a good way. Like, he played differently. He normally just sits there for Leeds. But, you've seen a different element to him. You know, Southgate spotted that he's got that stamina to play that box-to-box role. And he tried it out in the World Cup qualifiers before. And we were all like, what's going on here? The first time it didn't really work. Second game he did it, and he sort of played a little bit further forward, which means he was just kind of getting used to it. And then in this game, he was brilliant. But like, even things like, because I feel like Kane, I think Kane probably needs to tweak the way he plays a little bit, because, you know, him sort of dropping deep and doing all those bits and pieces, we've got too many of those guys. So yeah. I think you're not, like, there were these grumblings about him and his positioning, and I think some of that was merited, but people talking about how many touches he had, like, I don't care. Like, he's our best striker. I think he just needs to sort of, I know it sounds so prehistoric, but he needs to concentrate on that, because you've got Foden and Mount and Sterling and Rashford, like we've all spoken about. So he can do that. So yeah, I think that's the thing. Kind of pinch yourself with some of the roles that players play as well, because they probably won't play exactly like they do for their Premier League team, because it's just different.
What we, you know, when you're supporting your club, a player's performance is really important. Like, if Kane doesn't play well for Spurs, it's really important, because if he doesn't play well, Spurs are not playing well. If he's not scoring goals, we're going to struggle to score goals. But with England, in a tournament game, it doesn't matter if Kane isn't performing well. If he's involved in a machine that affords Sterling a couple of opportunities that he could have scored, maybe at least two I felt like he could have scored, including the goal he did. Foden hit the post. You know, you've got other players around Kane who are, you know, as damaging in that final third. Look, if Kane is a part of a system, or if Calvert-Lewin is a part of that system, as long as we're creating chances, nothing else matters. This isn't about the individual here. It's not. It doesn't matter if Kane scores. You know, people are talking about, oh, we want Kane to score to be the golden boot to prove. It doesn't matter. All that matters is England's progression. That's all that matters. And if we're creating...
I agree, man. It's exciting. It's so exciting, isn't it? Fuck.
Yeah, well, until Scotland do us on Friday, and then we're like, fuck, when's the Premier League start? When's the Premier
League start? He's got to go tonight.
Yeah, get rid of him. He's boring. He's boring. All right, Jim, if anyone's listening to this who doesn't know, James has a YouTube... It doesn't matter. Like, do you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about James's YouTube channel. No, it's not that. It's just that you're more successful than I could ever be.
That's not true. We're both successful, incredibly so, and it's exhausting.
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.